Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Hey, friends, and officially Mele Kalikimaka. Merry Christmas from Hawaii. I'm so excited to be stepping into December and the Advent season with all of you. I just love this time of year. Sometimes I say we overcompensate in Hawaii because we don't have cold weather or any true seasons. We go a little crazy and just try to make it feel as Christmassy as it possibly can. So I am loving this, and I hope you are too. And yet the reality is we live in a fallen world. We all have challenges, difficult circumstances, and sometimes I know we can find it difficult to truly find joy in this season. And that's okay. I don't think we need to deny that fact. God knows everything, and He's still there. He's still good. And I think with some intentionality, we can still uncover some great joy in this season. Well, today's guest, Ashery Tachuchu, who's been on the podcast a couple times before. She's with us sharing her brand new book called Delighting in Jesus, Rhythms to Restore Joy When You Feel Burdened, Broken, or Burned Out. And this is not necessarily a book for Christmas, but I think the topic is so fitting for right now. And as we go into this season, we're all going to hit some bumps in the road. Even if you're having the best season ever, we're going to hit some bumps, and we want to continue to return to the truth that brings us the lasting joy that Jesus has for us. So I think this conversation is super important. And if you know someone going through a difficult season, I hope you'll pass this along to them as well. But really, this book is a book for all time, and this conversation is a conversation for all time. So perhaps you will want to hold on to these thoughts and meditations for the new year ahead when we can step into 2025, delighting in Jesus. And as always, I have some notes for you. You can find links and show notes over at monicaswanson.com/Asherita-joy. And Asherita is spelled A-S-H-E-R-I-T-A-H. Asherita-joy. And you can find links to all the podcasts in my archives at monicaswanson.com/podcast. All right, friends, I'll have a few final words to say at the end. But without further ado, here's Asherita and I talking about how we can delight in Jesus this Christmas season and always. I hope you're encouraged. Asherita, welcome to the podcast.
Monica, thank you so much for having me. I've so been looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, just feels like we get to hang out, and I love it. And I'll be linking in show notes to the other, I think, three times you've been on the podcast. So that puts you up there as one of the most frequent guests. So that's pretty cool.
I'm honored.
Yeah. And when you're not on the podcast, I feel like I'm always sharing your Advent and Lent devotionals and all your good stuff. And, you know, people have heard about you in my emails and on social media if they haven't heard you in real life. But with that, just in case someone out there doesn't know you, can you give a quick intro?
Oh, sure. Hi, I'm Asherita. We say it like margarita because
that's helpful.
Yeah, it's a difficult name sometimes. I'm married to my high school sweetheart. We met in Romania when I was a missionary kid there for 10 years. And we now live in Northeast Ohio with our three kiddos. They're ages 11, 8, and 6. just started homeschooling last year. Woo-hoo. So we're 1 year in. And yeah, getting ready to head out on our very first like camper adventure. So we're entering that like
and Monica wants to sneak in era. And go camp with you. I'm so envious.
Oh man, that would be so fun. If we like lived closer together, we could bring our families together. But yes. Yeah, that's just a bit about me.
I love it. And what about, tell us a little bit about your writing background and what you do online.
Yeah. So about 11 years ago, I started blogging online, really with the purpose of encouraging women who felt like they can't read their Bible consistently, because that's where I was 11 years ago. I was transitioning from having all this time to do inductive study and, you know, Jesus wooed me from a very young age. And throughout my teen years, I loved spending time in inductive study and in prayer. And I just had the time of my life. And then I became a mom. And even before that, like when I started my career post-college, just felt like, man, I just don't have enough time. And started feeling that guilt of falling behind on my Bible reading plan and not staying up to date on like my memorization passages, and I had a long list of people I wanted to pray for, and I wouldn't get to pray for them, and just realized, like, I'm not being consistent. I feel like I don't have time. There's a whole lot of guilt and shame and condemnation that then, like, makes me stay away from God because I just need to get my act together. And as I was kind of wrestling through these things, I realized a lot of people actually struggle with this. Yeah. So that's where my blogging began, was with a desire to say, what does it look like to prioritize time with Jesus, to delight in Jesus in this season, not waiting until I'm an empty nester, not waiting until things slow down at work or until the holidays are over, or I'm just going to wait until that time never comes, really. And so it's been 11 years of at first blogging and then eventually started an email devotional that now goes out to over 50,000 people around the world, which just blows my mind. Wow. But just such a privilege to get to encourage people to say, I'm not on the other side of this. It's not like I'm the expert on this, but I can share what I've learned along the way and encourage you that time with Jesus is always time well spent. And so books came out of that, and speaking at retreats nationwide, and podcasting, and a YouTube channel. And it's just kind of grown organically over time. But I still think back with just so much fondness on those early years of, you know, me blogging. And I think my only blog reader was my mom for the longest time.
That's great. How we all started. Oh, I just love that story so much. And I also just love your personal story. You mentioned briefly growing up a missionary kid in Romania and your husband. And I'm sure people out there are like, wait, I want to know more about that. And I'm pretty sure you shared that whole story in one of the podcast interviews. So again, I'm going to link to those. And it's so cool. I just love your story and your heart. And I've said many times before that you're the one person, one of my friends who's in this writing community that my husband loves as much as I do, because he just so respects your writing, because you are a researcher and a theologian and you do the work and you do such a great job. So all your stuff is so good. So I'm thrilled that you have another book. And as this comes out, pretty sure it's within a week or so of your book coming out. So give us a quick picture of what that's about. And then we're going to kind of apply the stuff in that book to the holiday season, especially Christmas time. So yeah, what's this new book?
Yeah, so this is book number 10.
What? It is 10?
I know.
I didn't realize 10 is a lot.
Yeah, it's my most personal one, Monica, of all the books I've written. Yeah. And it's called Delighting in Jesus, Rhythms to Restore Joy When You Feel Burdened, Broken, or Burned Out. And just like I started my blog from like my own personal pain point, this book was written from a place of saying, I believe that God is my happiness. I truly believe that God delights in us and that he invites us to delight in him. So where did my joy go? Like, how did I go from being this maybe not bubbly, but optimistic and joyful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people used to comment on my smile and that my face radiated joy. And a few years ago, I went through just a really dark season of really struggling mm-hmm. and feeling like I'm never going to feel joyful again. I don't know that it's ever going to happen again. Right. This is just my lot in life to walk through the dark valley.
Wow.
And what I found was that even in the dark valley, the Good Shepherd says, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, though we walk through the valley, he is right there with us. Yeah. And learning to delight in Jesus, even when it's not joyful, mm-hmm. even when it's not easy, the kindness of the Lord never left my side. And also, he brought me on the other side of that valley. I remember, Monica, you and I were at a conference.
Right. I was just going to say, I loved reading the beginning of your story because I was like, oh my goodness, I was actually there.
You
were there. I remember when this happened. So can you give a sneak peek to how that all went down?
Yeah. So believe it or not, I had actually contracted to write this book.
Mm-hmm.
To write a book about enjoying Jesus, a book mm-hmm. about the one thing that, you know, takes priority over everything else. And I knew what I wanted to write, and I had experienced the joy of the Lord. I had experienced mm-hmm. delight in his presence. And I also, like, had really wanted to write this book, except I was in a place where I wasn't living it, Monica.
Wow.
And I was like,
wow.
How am I supposed to write about something that I know to the marrow of my bones is true, but is not my daily reality?
Wow, that's hard.
And I was sitting in that conference room, and the speaker put a verse on the screen. It's from Psalm 13, "Restored the sparkle to my eyes, Lord, or I will die." And I wrote that verse in my journal. I was like, that is me. And also, like, praise God for dramatic
right.
like, parts of the Bible,
serious.
Right?
Yes.
David is like, I'm going to die.
Yes.
And
sounds like my 14-year-old.
That. But I felt that so deeply
totally.
To be like, yes, there is something in me that feels like it's dying.
Yeah.
And God, it's going to take a supernatural work of your, like, direct involvement to restore the sparkle, to restore the joy. You know, David says elsewhere, restore to me the joy of my salvation and give me a willing spirit to obey you, to walk in the path of your commands. And that conference was such a pivotal moment for me because it marked the beginning of God's answering that prayer.
Mm, I love that. And again, I remember talking to you even shortly after that encounter, which you describe more in the book and is so beautiful. But maybe you can then take us a little bit practically from that point to what happened, because you do tell the story of a year later being at another conference where you were the one then being able to encourage someone else who felt dry and lacking in joy. So what were some of the steps that you took, or what kind of light can you shed on that process?
Yeah. Again and again, it is hearing Jesus' invitation when he says, come to me.
Mm.
And acknowledging, like, he's actually with us in those dark places.
Mm-hmm.
And in those places where we feel burdened, Jesus' invitation from Matthew 11 is come to me and I'll give you rest. Like, take my, let's do a burden exchange here. Like,
love that.
Give me your burden
and
take my burden on you. Mm-hmm. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I am gentle and humble in heart.
Mm.
It was listening to those invitations in those places where I felt brokenness.
Mm-hmm.
There were some new situations in my life that I didn't, like, I was just grappling with how do I deal with this?
Right.
How do I move forward with this?
Sure.
There were some things from my past that I had not dealt with fully in the past. And so it was kind of those wounds coming up again and processing that with godly counselors and with godly friends in my life. And hearing Jesus' invitation that he wants to come and bind up the brokenhearted. He wants to come and bring healing in those broken places.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, okay, Lord, like, yes, whatever that looks like, yes.
That.
And in the places where I felt burnout, because I think that was probably the most visible, probably for you too, when I was there. It's like,
right.
I was doing all the things for Jesus. right? And a lot of Christian women, I think, Christian men too, it's that 80-20 principle where, you know, 20% of the people in the church do 80% of the work. Mm-hmm. It's the volunteers that keep getting tapped in to ask to serve. Mm-hmm. And we want to say yes. We want to serve the Lord. And we do all those things. And I had to acknowledge, like, I had reached a place of burnout mm-hmm. where some of my friends were like, Ashrita, God gave you a body. You are not divine. You are finite. You are not infinite. Right. You need sleep. Uh-huh. You need rest. You need to say no. Mm-hmm. You need to block out time for your parasympathetic nervous system to be able to regulate again. Mm-hmm. There were like hormonal things in my body that I didn't even realize that stress and cortisol had caused just an imbalance. So it was this vicious cycle of I'm not sleeping well. And when I'm awake, I'm tired. And yet I'm still pushing through and living on coffee, you know, because I need to get through my list and do the things.
Right.
And in that place of burnout, hearing Jesus' invitation to his disciples when they came back from the mission trip. They were so excited to tell Jesus all the things they were doing. And there were so many people who were coming in and out. They didn't even have time to eat. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, come, come to me, come away with me, and let's get some rest. Oh. And Monica, I love this in scripture, just how real it is. Yep. The only place they could go to get away with Jesus was in a boat in the middle of the lake.
Right. Wow.
And even then, there were crowds on the shores, like waiting for them to land the boat.
Isn't that amazing?
I mean, the demands never stop.
It's so
true. And so it's learning, how do I carve out time? Mm-hmm. How, God, give me wisdom and discernment, even those good things, to learn to say no.
Yes.
And to acknowledge, like, you are infinite. I am not. Mm-hmm. And so would you give me wisdom? Would you show me the way?
Yeah.
So those were all just foundational before even being able to get into some of the rhythms that helped restore joy.
Yeah.
Those are some of the foundational practices of just slowing down, paring down, learning to rest, learning to sleep, learning to fuel my body with foods that give me energy and kind of restore vitality. And over the course of about 18 months, God did such a work of healing and restoration in my life. And he's still continuing it. I'm still learning. But yeah, you're right. Like over the past, I would say 10 months, there have been people who are like, I see the sparkle again. Like your face radiates that joy. And every time, Monica,
that has to make
it
you
causes
smile.
Tears.
Yeah.
It causes tears to be like, you, Jesus, only you could do this.
Mm-hmm. That is the best. What a testimony. And you're right. Only the Lord. That's nothing we can manufacture. Okay. So before we move on, I love that you talk about joy and happiness. And I've heard different people talk about this, but I would love for you to share what you've discovered through your research.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to give you the answer you want here because when we look at scripture, the Bible uses joy and happiness interchangeably. There's no distinction.
Oh, there's not.
No.
Oh.
There are.
How come
Hebrew
I've heard
terms.
Differently all along?
Oh, yes, I have too. I have too.
Okay.
And so it was shocking when I went through the Bible cover to cover. Reading and underlining. So one year I read through the Bible with the Bible Project. And every time I found the word joy, happy, delight, blessed, pleasure, like any of those synonyms, I would mark it in my Bible. And then this was like 5 years ago. And then I went through and I looked up the Hebrew words in the Old Testament and the Greek words in the New Testament. And to my surprise, like they're the same.
Okay.
These are synonymous words. In fact, oh man, there's so much we could get into. But anyway, there I do have a John Piper quote that like backs this up, as well as Randy Alcorn. So two like Christian scholars that also affirm like in scripture, joy and happiness is the same. I think what we get wrong and what we see from the Garden of Eden is when we try to find our utmost happiness or joy in something other than God. That is when we lose our way.
Mm-hmm.
right? When Eve thought this fruit is what's going to truly make me happy, that's where sin comes in. When we turn to a glass of wine or a show or a boyfriend or our children, when we expect anything in life to fill that spot in us that longs for pleasure and longs for joy, that becomes idolatry.
Okay.
And so I think that is what scripture is calling out. I think it's where we seek true satisfaction. If we find our delight and our pleasure and our joy in Jesus, then everything else becomes, C.S. Lewis calls it, it can become a channel of adoration, right?
That's awesome.
Anything becomes a gift given from a good father to be received in worship. James says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of light, right? So I can look at a baby in my arms and even just picturing holding the baby with that laugh and the twinkle in their eyes, and it just brings so much happiness and joy.
Yes.
Well, a proper response of worship would be, what an incredible maker. That he would create humanity in such a way that's in his image, that's so marvelous. And in that instant, holding that baby, you're happy. Mm. It also becomes a channel of adoration as your heart turns to God to adore him, to worship him.
Right.
So it's receiving every good and perfect gift as an opportunity to say, what does this say about the giver? I think that's how we're meant to find joy and happiness.
Yes. And what we find throughout the Psalms as well, which I love. Hey friends, if you are a homeschooling family or thinking about becoming one, I want to make sure to tell you about our family's favorite math and science curriculum. DiveIntoMath.com offers amazing classes in both science and math through the AP level. Now, many of you know that my oldest sons went on to college to study engineering and data analytics, and they give credit to Dr. Shorman of Dive Into Math for both getting into college and having a successful college experience coming out of homeschooling. They have since then, of course, graduated from college and landed great jobs. So we give Dr. Shorman a lot of credit often. Now, what you need to know is that Dr. Shorman teaches everything from a biblical perspective, and he also teaches the why of learning math, which I think makes a big difference. He offers self-paced courses in a state-of-the-art e-learning system featuring expert video instruction, interactive assignments with auto-grading and auto-grade recording, video solutions, and Q&A support with Dr. Shorman himself, and he's like the nicest guy you could ever know. Shorman Algebra 1 and 2 teaches every concept on the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions, which is super important if you want to keep that door open for your kids to go to college. Now, you can also earn up to 32 college credits with included CLEP and AP prep. Definitely go over to DiveIntoMath.com, check out all they have to offer. I think you're going to be impressed, and your kids are going to love the classes. Well, I know that we talked back a couple of years ago when you were working on this, and I started getting excited about the book because, partly for many reasons, but I love that you are diving in and doing some work on brain science. And that's something anyone that listens knows that across the board, I just really enjoy seeing God's word and brain science come together and just understanding how God, like you said, is the one who created it all. And I appreciate that you researched and you dug in and found a lot about how our thoughts align with God's word and what that does to our joy centers and all the rest. But any fun facts you found or anything you want to pass along here?
Yeah. I mean, this was an aha moment for me, Monica, and it just like, it lit me up. I got so excited when I read this in the brain science portion of my research, is that our right prefrontal cortex is the part that of our brain that processes emotions like happiness and joy. It can also process fear, but it's the more rational thinking part of of the lobe of our brain.
Right.
And then, so I like to put like my right hand over my right eye and just think like this right here, this is my joy center. Like when I'm living from the right prefrontal cortex, I'm living from a place of abundance and joy and stability, just place of peace right here. Then if you put your left hand behind your head, like at the base of your skull, that's where scientists call it like our lizard brain. That's like the fear center, right? This is the part of our brain that's fight or flight. God created our brains. He knows how our brains are meant to work. Mm-hmm. And this, I'm forgetting the technical term, but yeah, the lizard brain, the fear center, this part of our brain that it just reacts much more quickly. Mm-hmm. So this is what, like, our family's going to Cayden National Park next month. If we run into any bears, right?
Any bears,
this is the part of our brain that's going to be like, here's what you do right now.
Yes.
It's not going to work out a 10-step plan. It's not going to weigh pros and cons. Like, we need this part of our brain to help us make fast decisions. It's going to release adrenaline in your body. It's going to help process stressful situations. And we need that.
Right.
The problem is, because of so many aspects of our modern culture, the 24-hour news cycle, the social media scroll that prioritizes fear-mongering and anything that gets clicks, anything that gets likes, anything that will stimulate this emotional response of I have to protect, that causes us to live back here in the fear center.
Right.
So the more of your day that you are living there and spending time there, the more depleted you will become, the more that's going to sap your joy and sap your energy because you're living in literally the fear center.
Wow.
Now, here's where it gets interesting. For the longest time, scientists believed that the brain was pretty much set by about age 16.
Mm.
Like, you are the way you are. You can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? Yep. Like, this is just, this is the way it is.
Sure.
And about a decade ago, scientists discovered something called neuroplasticity, which is that the brain actually never loses its ability to grow and change and adapt. Mm.
Yeah.
So the connecting point between the fear center back in the back of your brain and the joy center, your prefrontal right orbital cortex, is connected by neurons and pathways.
Little freeways,
And the way this works is the more you use these pathways, the more established they become, the wider they become, the faster neurons can run on this pathway. And actually, our joy center can also grow.
Wow.
So for some people, the right prefrontal cortex is as small as an almond.
Ooh,
and for others, it can be as big as a tennis ball.
What? Are you kidding me?
Isn't that incredible?
That's wild. I didn't know that.
So if you feel like, man, some people are just more joyful, just naturally, like great disposition. They've practiced it, right?
Wow.
So the joy pathway from their fear center to their joy center is a highway. It's going super fast.
Mm-hmm.
And they've developed the neurons in their joy center to just hang out there more often.
Wow.
So this doesn't mean that we never go to the fear center.
Right.
We have to be in the fear
center. Yes. If you see
God
a bear,
created.
You want to go there.
You don't want to pet the teddy bear. Like, this is not what we do. But it's just... It fascinates me that God created us.
Oh, that's so cool.
He knows us. He made us. And Scripture talks about renewing our mind.
Yes.
Scripture talks about those who look to Him are radiant with joy. We can grow in this. And so one of my prayers, Monica, over the past 18 months was literally I would put my right hand on the right side of my brain, the left back on my fear center, and I would say, God, would you grow my joy? Would you increase my capacity for joy?
Mm-hmm.
Would you teach me to be quick to run to you, quick to run to that place of being in your presence?
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that transformation.
Yes.
Like, I haven't had a brain scan to tell you
but I bet.
If my joy center is growing, but I think it is.
It is. That is all just so cool. I just love to think about how all of that works, and God is the one directing all of it. So very cool. Now I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about the holiday season, because we all know that we're heading into the holidays, and many people listening are dealing with, you know, any level of stress or disappointment or grief. And yet you share ways that we can make small shifts that can make a huge difference in the joy we experience during Christmas time because of the fact that the gospel truly is the good news of great joy. I know in the book you share 5 practical rhythms of delight. So I thought maybe you could touch on those or kind of open up that conversation and share with us a little bit so that we have something to work with right away.
Yeah. I would say this isn't even one of the rhythms. This is like one of those foundational pieces we talked about is slowing down and inviting a place of rest, right? Mm-hmm. Before we're going to add any habit or we're going to add anything to your already full plate, let's just take a look at what's there.
Yeah.
So one thing I would say is listen to Jesus's invitation when he says, come to me. Mm-hmm. And take some time with him right now at the beginning of the holiday season. And in prayer, maybe you want to take your journal and just process, like, what is causing stress right now? Mm-hmm. What is depleting my joy? What has me running to the fear center in my brain? Mm-hmm. And identify maybe some things that you can lay down, that you can put those heavy burdens down at the feet of Jesus. Mm. Look for ways to get away with him. It might not be in a boat in the middle of a lake, but maybe it's like the only place in the house that I can be alone is if I literally go in my car in the garage and like shut myself there so my family can't find me, right?
Right, right.
What does it look like to carve out time and space to be with him?
Asherita, I think this is so important. Yeah. In fact, I think that we hear things like slow down and all these ideas, and it's so easy to almost get used to hearing it so we don't take it serious. But I have really been convicted recently myself of how much my phone and technology is a distraction from the Lord, even doing good things, listening to good podcasts, making phone calls. When I'm in the car on that 1 hour drive, I go to Costco, how easy it is for me to fill those moments with all the things that come with my little smartphone, and how if I just turn that off or put it away, the quiet I experience, the opportunity to pray, to just listen for God's voice, I have personally been really convicted about that. And so I just appreciate that you're saying this, and I want to take it serious and not just let it be another like, yes, we should all slow down, but really stop and ponder what that would look like in this Advent season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Monica. I think a lot of us struggle with that.
Yeah.
And something that I found helpful, especially if you feel like, well, I can't put my device away, like I need it in hand, is, well, A, challenge that. maybe put some limits on it. So for a season, you can, I put a limit on Instagram and Facebook where they didn't even turn on for me. Like I couldn't access the apps until like 10 a.m.
Okay.
To give me the first hours of my day where even if I wanted to go check what the world is doing, like those things were locked down. So
awesome.
You can do that on your device.
Very cool. I need to.
You can turn it into an avenue of directing your heart toward God. So for, probably the last year, I use the Dwell app on my phone, and I've been just really sitting with the Sermon on the Mount, really dwelling on the words of Jesus in Matthew 5-8. So when I'd come downstairs in the morning, make my coffee, that's the first thing I'd do. I'd hit play on the Sermon on the Mount, and for I think it's 22 minutes, I'm just allow the words of Jesus to wash over me
and
sanctifying my imagination with the way that he views the world, with his kingdom come. So we can also use our devices in a way that point our hearts toward the Lord if we're being intentional, right? Otherwise, they're going to take control of our schedule and our agenda. Mm-hmm. And I found myself like 45 minutes into a scroll session being like, wait,
for sure.
What was I going to do?
Totally.
Why am I here?
yes.
Yeah.
And if anyone wants to feel sorry for me living in Hawaii, part of my problem is that I wake up after the rest of the world is halfway through the day. So I feel this urgency to like catch up. I better check my emails because if there's something, somebody needs something, they're already going into the afternoon. So I give myself a little grace, but then I'm like, that doesn't give you an excuse to like neglect your time with the Lord. You need to turn that off because, oh, what a difference it makes when I am really focused and intentional in my devotional time. Okay, so you shared that foundational point. Any rhythms we can add to that in the holidays?
Yeah, so we already talked about the rhythm of the word, like get into the word.
Yeah. Right?
It might be listening to scripture. It might be that you want to do a YouVersion plan. It might be that you're praying God's word. So I'll just give a shameless plug to the Prayers of Rest podcast.
There we go.
This season, every week, I'm releasing a 10-minute guided prayer based on scripture on verses about joy. So it's our season of praying for joy, praying that God would do a work in our lives. And it's a great way to build up, whether you want to call it a habit or a rhythm. I prefer rhythm just because habit for me is like, I must do it every day.
Yes.
And if I don't, then I'm a failure. Like we're getting back into some of that guilt territory.
Yeah.
But a rhythm kind of has this ebb and flow, right? It might be just two or three times a week that you do something, or it might be every Monday you do something. So being in the word, praying the word, listening to the word, writing out the word, memorizing the word, like these are all ways that we can delight in the revelation of God and who he is. And in the holiday season, I would say is probably not the best time to try to like read for an hour a day. I mean, do it if you want to, but I find especially the month of December, I'm going to try to keep these small and short and manageable.
Yeah.
So it is, you know, maybe instead of three chapters, Sermon on the Mount, that I would typically listen to, I might in December kind of shift down into just listening to one chapter, maybe just 5 minutes or seven minutes, but trying to do that consistently.
Yeah.
Another one that's maybe back to the foundational piece that I've done with my family for years that's just brought so much peace to our family is at the beginning of the holiday season. And even if we're like into the holidays, it's not too late to do this. We sit down as a family and we say, everyone gets to pick one activity this holiday season. Like what is one thing that you absolutely want to do that means the world to you? And then we'll prioritize to make sure we do that one activity. It might be going to our church's Christmas concert. It might be that we want to, I don't know, make sugar cookies and decorate them.
Right.
But we're not going to do this bucket list activity.
Everything.
We're not going to do 25 Christmas activities.
Right.
That sounds great on December 1st, and it brings so much stress and guilt and just feeling ragged by mid-December.
Absolutely.
So have everyone in the family pick one activity that you do, and then if you get to anything else, that's great.
Yep.
But you've released that burden and that obligation.
So
and listen, when you do that one activity, become aware of the presence of God with you. If you're going to string lights on the Christmas tree, like meditate on how Jesus is the light of the world, how he lights up the darkness. If you're going to, go to the tree farm and cut down a tree together, like our family's never done that. But what a great opportunity to meditate on the everlasting love of the Father, just like the evergreen never loses its leaves. Allow these activities to become channels of adoration.
Yes.
We don't have to build more things into our December season. We need to quiet things down. We need to rest. We need to slow down and become aware of God's presence with us. So the rhythm of the word is there. As we're drinking our coffee, for me, it's going to be, I make my coffee, I go in the living room by the fireplace with like all the lights turned off and just the twinkling lights on the tree. And that's where I spend a few minutes with Jesus.
Wow.
So good. It's practicing wonder and adoration when you're outside on the tree farm looking at all the things. Look at the snowflakes. If you're in Hawaii and you don't have snowflakes, look at the sunrise. just God's presence with us and his delight in us.
Yes. I love how that's none of that, like you said, is having to build something big or new. It's a shift in perspective and it's opening up that wonder. So maybe before we close, for the person out there who maybe just recently lost a loved one or have faced a difficult diagnosis or challenging situation and they really want to have joy, you know, for the sake of their children and their families, is there one place you would point them to in scripture or one word you can leave them with that will help them cultivate some joy to get through this season?
Psalm 13 has been, has just been a lifeline for me in those early months. And also say Psalm 23. Like, I know Psalm 23 is so well known and well loved.
So good.
But especially, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. And that last verse, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I heard someone explain once, like, picture goodness and mercy as the shepherd's two sheepdogs that go and, like, round up the sheep that are scattered and the sheep that's lost. Wow. And goodness and mercy are the shepherd's sheepdogs that will follow us. Like, they'll chase us down. They'll go after us. They'll be with us. They'll bring us back in so that we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Wow.
So in this dark season, whatever that looks like for you, just know that the shepherd's goodness and mercy have never left you, and he is with you, and he will guide you safely home.
Mm, that is so beautiful. And just listening to your voice, it brings so much comfort. We'll definitely be linking to the Prayers of Rest podcast, where people can find much more to take them through the holiday season and into the new year. And I kind of just love that this new book of yours, Delighting in Jesus, just came out now, because what a great Christmas gift. Truly, for the moms, the sisters, the friends in your life, what a great gift. In fact, maybe you can just speak to that. Is there a specific audience you had in mind when you were writing this book, maybe an age range or anything that we should keep in mind?
Ha. Huh. How cliche is it to say for everyone?
For everyone.
Yes. Super cliche. But I will say, more so than age, it's for the person who has tasted hardship and sorrow, and who truly longs to experience the joy of the Lord again. You can be 16 or you can be 60. It will speak to you in that place. And my prayer as I was writing it is that it would guide you. It would walk with you and come alongside. As someone who can say, I've been there. I've experienced it. And I can tell you, from those dark places, the goodness and the kindness of the Lord will never fail you. And there's hope on the other side. So it's my prayer to meet Christians and those who are not yet believers, who are kind of looking into the promises of God. Is this real? That I'd be able to meet you there and say, let's walk together. Like, let me share with you what I've learned. And in the new year, actually, we're going to be doing a book club on this. So if you do get it for Christmas and you want to read alongside a community of people who are longing for joy, I would love for you to come alongside, and let's do that together.
That's going to be so good. I know. And maybe, you know, helpful tip from someone who's walked this road a little longer than some of you listening. Don't wait for someone else to buy you the book. Just buy it for yourself.
Merry Christmas to me.
Yeah. Just tell your husband, hey, I'm covering one of my gifts. I'm going to go ahead and order this, and you can wrap it and put it under the tree. But, you know, this is one of those I think you can justify. All right, Asherita, where can people find and follow you right now if they want to hop on their little phone and track you down?
Yeah, so the best place to kind of hang out and find all the things is delightinginjesus.com. So the title of the book, delightinginjesus.com. And from there, you'll find links to my Instagram, so our weekly email devotional, that book club I mentioned, all the things. That's the best place to go.
So cool. All right. And we'll link to all that in show notes as well. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm so encouraged, and I know others are as well. And I just hope you have a wonderful, joyful holiday season.
Oh, thank you, Monica, so for having me on and geeking out about brain science and joy in Jesus. And I hope you have a Merry Christmas.
I hope we get to hang out again in real life before too long. So God bless you. Aloha. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that conversation and that you're super encouraged. Again, remember to pass this episode along to those you think it might encourage. And you can always do that by taking a simple screenshot of your phone with this podcast showing on it. And then you can share that to social media. If you're on Instagram, please tag me at @MonicaSwanson_. I love to reshare those. And just appreciate you guys sticking around. The rest of this month is going to be fun. We're moving into short and sweet episodes that are all Christmas related, and then a fun one leading us up to the new year. And I'm just going to give you a little teaser now. The new year here on the podcast is going to be really special. I'm making some subtle changes that I think you're going to love, and it's just going to be better and better. I've got some interviews that are coming out in January that you're going to love. We are covering some great topics that I think are super practical and that just are things you've been telling me you want to hear more of. So can't wait to dive into 2025 with all of you. So have yourself a wonderful rest of the week. And until next time, aloha.